Well, we appreciate all of you being here. Appreciate all of you showing up from this morning for our sunrise service. Boy, what a meeting we had. Can I get a witness from those that were here? Amen. Amen. It was good. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to do for us now. I guarantee you this, He's always got something on His mind. Amen. He wants to do just for you, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to open this service in prayer. And Brother Tim Mitchell is going to come and open for us, so let's all pray together.
Our Heavenly Father, God, we're so grateful, Lord, for another day. So grateful, God, for what You've done for us this morning, Lord, already. Thank You for being with us in the songs and in the preaching, God, and in the Sunday school this morning. But God, we're dependent people. We're dependent upon You, God. God, how we need You, Lord, in this hour and this day that we're in these last days. God, how I pray, that, Lord, that You might awaken the church, God, and help us, God, this morning, Lord, spiritually speaking, in the inner man. I pray that this morning, God, as the children of God sing, Lord, the songs of Zion, Lord, it'll bless our hearts, bless Your heart. And God, I pray, Lord, if You allow Brother Bud to preach this morning, that You fill him with the Holy Ghost, God. Give them that touch, God, that's needed, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk, God. God, if there's one here today that's never been saved, God, never been born again, I pray that the pulpit will be used this morning to pull that one, God, out of that terrible pit, God, that they're heading to without You. And then, God, for You children that are here, I pray in Jesus' name that You increase our faith. Help us, God, Lord, to do what's right, Lord. Help us to do what we wish we'd have done when we stand in Your presence, God. Thank You for all that You're going to do. We're going to praise You for it already because we asked it all in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing, page 258.
Oh,
He's not coming, but he is coming back. I love this song. We may not do the best with anybody, but I love this song. I know he's coming back, and I'm going to go when he comes back. Let's do the whole thing.
Thank you.
Gathered all them sins up from the past. He rolled them over on here. He gathered all them sins from the future. He rolled them all over. Woo! Well, we done been in the blood this morning, amen. He took them all, amen. While she plays, if you've got a love offering you want to give, you come and bring it and put it in the place this morning. We appreciate everything that you do.
You got a special plan.
Yeah. Brother Zach's playing a special for us this morning. Y'all come and give your offerings this morning. Jesus. Amen. Amen. I got a few announcements to make and then we'll get on with our service this morning. On April the 16th will be Youth Night here at the church, ages 12 and up. It'll start at 5 p.m. and then dinner will be provided. So all of our youth, remember this. Brother Titus is, I think Brother Tony Shirley's church is doing a virtual youth meeting, and they're going to be watching that over in our fellowship hall, and just our youth getting together. And then on the 17th of April, the ladies' meeting at 10 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Don't forget that. And I was told this morning that we have our first ever Murrayville Open Putt-Putt Championship. Of course, I'm going to win. That's a given. I'm going to win. I'm going to get the green coat. Amen. Amen. But there's a sign up. Hey, we got another sign up sheet. Glory to God. It's been so long, all this coronavirus kept us from having sign up sheets. Now we got one. Amen. Everybody sign up. I don't care if you come or not. Just put your name on the sign up sheet. Glory to God. So that's for our first ever brother. Brother Clay is putting on a putt-putt extravaganza. Amen. So be sure to sign up for that. Amen.
Oh, fear is
What an arrangement. Amen. I enjoyed that. Well, it's good to have Brother Bud. You be making your way on up here, Brother Bud. He's a friend of Murrayville Baptist Church, and I thanked him this morning for most gladly spending and being spent for us. If you've never heard Brother Bud preach, he puts everything he is into that message. And I sure do appreciate his dear wife writing all the messages out for him. And he's just the deliverer. She's the brain work behind all of it. No, I love Brother Bud. He knows this book from cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And the way he puts it together and brings it across with some humor, how it just opens up to you and makes you enjoy it. And I sure do appreciate Brother Bud Stiltner. Brother Bud, I don't know that you've ever done this, but you need to introduce us to your family.
Yes, sir. I'd be glad to. That's not my sister right there with the curly hair. That's my wife, and she's only 2 years younger than me. And everybody get that everywhere I go. And that's Danny Lynn, and that's my oldest son Noah, and Levi, and Mariah, and my oldest daughter is not here with us today. Thank you, preacher. Amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. I absolutely enjoyed the singing this morning. Thank God for that good singing. He's coming. Ain't you glad He's coming? That's called the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad He's coming. No matter how bad things get down here, we got something to look forward to. And it's not that next stimulus check. Can I get a witness? Help me, somebody. Praise God. You spend all them Biden bucks. I'm against it, by the way. I'm going to spend it, but I'm against it. But I'm not looking forward. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me now to the book of John. John chapter number 12. And I want to preach a little while something the Lord's put on my heart. Brand new thought. And that's not a big deal to a pastor. They have to get brand new messages every week, but that's sort of a big deal to an evangelist. Amen. Brand new. And so I want to share this with you here. It's been requested that I preach 5 minutes. My daughter requested that after getting up that early this morning. They don't have a burden for that. And I did preach all morning this morning, so I will be mindful. But I want to show you something in the Word of God. Is that all right? This is more of a topical type sermon, not tropical. I apologize. I wish I had some tropical sermons, as cold as it's been. But this is a topical thought that I want to share with you. In John chapter number 12, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This said he not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Don't you look at what Jesus said about it. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Hallelujah. In Luke's gospel, or maybe it was Mark's, could have been Matthew's, it says, she hath done what she could. Amen. Mary did what she could. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you pray for me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you for these that have gathered here. What this day represents to us. Lord, thank you for not staying dead. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for rising victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because you did, We can. And I thank you for that. And I pray you'd help us in the preaching time. I pray, Lord, you'd make it a help and a blessing. I didn't come to impress anybody, but I didn't come to depress nobody neither. So I pray, Lord, you'd do what you do. I'm not good at what I do, but you're good at being God. Help us, I pray. And we'll thank you for it and give you glory best we know how. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I preached a couple of years ago series of messages on Calvary. And what impressed me, what the Lord was showing me, was the sets of threes that there are at Calvary. There are more than I can mention. There's three crosses, and there were three malefactors. There were three words before the 3 hours of darkness, and three words after the 3 hours of darkness. There were three conversions. There were three major miracles. There were so many three cups. There were three cups at Calvary, and so many other threes. But one of them that I never did get to preach is there were three Marys at Calvary. I want to read you the text in John chapter 19 and verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, that's her name's Mary, and his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, there's three Marys there at the cross. There's Mary, his mother was there, and then there was Mary Magdalene. Don't surprise me that his mother, Mary, was there. By the way, she's not the mother of God. I don't want to pass up an opportunity to put that in. Help me somebody. She's not the Virgin Mary anymore, by the way. Help me somebody. Help me somebody. No, they had other kids after Jesus was born, and they still call, help me y'all. Amen. And she's not Mary, the mother of God, neither, because before Mary was, He was. Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. He was there from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain. Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus. She's not the mother of God, but she was the mother of Jesus. And Jesus said at Calvary, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother," and took care of her. Are you with me this morning? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. That don't surprise me. And she was there at the tomb when he rose. I won't read the text. You can read it for yourself. She was there as one of those Marys. That doesn't surprise me that she would be there. After all, she's been there all along. She was obviously there when he was born. Well, anyhow, never mind. I was trying to use humor. Y'all are not ready for that right now. She was there when he was born. Okay, anyhow, she was there. She was there. She was there when he was crucified. She was there when they buried him, and that don't surprise me. Mary Magdalene was there at the cross of Calvary. That don't surprise me either. Jesus cast 7 devils out of her, and if Jesus ever helped you as good as he helped Mary Magdalene, you'd follow him everywhere he went to. And she followed him everywhere that he went. She was there. She was there when they crucified him. She was there when they buried him. She was there when he rose again. In fact, she was the first one to go tell it. She ran and told the disciples that he was alive. It was Mary Magdalene. And that does not surprise me. Mary, the mother of Mark. In John 19:25, it says that her name was, well, it was Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Cleophas was one of those disciples on the road to Emmaus that we talked about this morning. That was his wife. And it's also the same, if I've read this right, Brother John, she's the same Mary in Acts 12:12, who was the mother of Mark. John, whose surname was Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And so there were three Marys that were there. Three Marys were there when he was crucified. Three Marys were there when they buried him. Three Marys were there when he rose from the dead. But there's another Mary in the Bible. In fact, this particular Mary takes up almost as much space in the Scripture as any of the other Marys, except for his mother, combined. This Mary is Mary of Bethany. This is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Here's what John 11 says, that verse number 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus and that church that was at their house. I preach a message out of John 12 on the perfect church. I call it the Bethany Baptist Church. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why you say it's a Baptist church?" I did say the title of the sermon was called "The Perfect Church," didn't I? Help me, somebody. Amen. Amen. And Jesus went by Bethany every time he was coming or going from Jerusalem. It seems like that was where he worked out of. That was where his ministry centered out of. As Paul was to the church in Antioch, Jesus was to the church in Bethany that happened to be in the house. It was only three members, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And thank God he don't mind coming by a little country church on the side of the road. Some of y'all ought to holler amen. I mean, we got a good congregation here this morning, preacher. But we fell in comparison to the mega churches. Are you with me? The Rock, the Bluff, the Cliff, the Point. Are you helping me? The coffee house, the donut shop. They've got thousands of members. But oh, I'm thankful. Jesus said, "Where two or three would gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Thank God, Jesus. He didn't say you had to have a Colosseum full for him to stop by. You didn't have to, listen, you may not, Pilate never came by the church in Bethany. Herod never came by the church in Bethany. Are you helping me? Caesar never attended service at the church in Bethany. Wasn't big enough for him. Wasn't fancy enough for him. But oh, thank God, Jesus stopped by a little country church on the side of the highway where just a handful of believers would meet together to worship him. Bible said they made him a supper. Honey, you know why Jesus came by Bethany? Because they made him welcome. And if you'll make him welcome at your church, he'll come to your church. You make him welcome in your house, he'll come to your house. You make him welcome in your heart, he'll come in your heart. Hallelujah. He wants to be where he's welcome. Thank God for this. Mary played an integral part in the ministry of Christ. Here in our text, we find her taking an alabaster box of ointment and breaking it, pouring it on his feet, and washing his feet with her hair. Amen. And Jesus liked it so good that he said, "Wheresoever in this world this gospel is preached, this also shall be made mention of as a memorial unto her." Jesus liked it so good that he said, no matter where they go, they're going to be preaching about this woman. And proof's right here this morning. We read it this morning, 2,000 years later. Prophecy is fulfilled before your very eyes. Mary is in the house, and she's here. Martha's in the kitchen. Thank God for that. Help me, somebody. Thank God Martha's in the kitchen. Martha needs to be in the kitchen. That's where she's good at. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you know where they got Martha White Flour, don't you? Right out of the King James Bible. That's another reason Jesus liked going by Bethany, because she made them big cat head biscuits like Jesus liked it. She put real cane sugar in the sweet tea like Jesus liked it. There was a meringue on top of that manna pudding 10 miles high. Not that stuff you get out of a box, stuff you get out of an oven. Help me, somebody. Hey, and Jesus liked it. I love Mary. Martha's in the kitchen. She's got ever eye on the stove cooking something. She's got something in the oven. She's working. And she said, you know what she said? She said, Jesus is going to, look, 6 days before the Passover, verse number 1. You know what he's about to do? He's about to climb up on Golgotha's hill. He's about to lay down his life on a Roman cross. He's about to pay the sin debt of the entire world. He's about to do the very thing he was born to do, the thing he lived to do. He's going to fulfill the will
of the Father. And he's busy. He's real busy. He's busy. He ain't got time to waste time. But oh, he ain't too busy to stop by a little country church on the side of the road at where they'll make him a supper and praise God. That's what he did. Martha's in there cooking up a storm. Huh? And there Mary is, and she wants in on it. Martha said, he's gonna stop by here, and we're going to have supper with him at my house, and then one of these days he's going to come back and get us. We're going to go to his house, have supper at his house. Hallelujah. She said, one of these days, I'm going to eat supper at his house in that land that is fair than day. By faith, I can see it afar. But tonight, it's on me. Ain't going to be no lumps in the gravy. Mashed potatoes are going to be so good. Help me, somebody. She's going to do this thing right. Yeah. That's Martha. And then there Mary is standing in the kitchen door looking. And what, Mary said, I want to help Jesus too. I want to do something for Jesus. Can I help cook? And Martha says, honey, I love you, but it takes you an hour and a half to make minute rice. And the last time you was in my kitchen, you burnt water. Mary, how do you burn water? No. No, go find you something else to do for Jesus. She was half disturbed, but she knew Martha was telling it right. And she said, I know what I'll do. She went back in the back bedroom in the closet, brought out a family heirloom, a most precious. Judas appraised it. Judas said, I could get 300 pence out of it. That's a year's salary. That's a whole year's salary, y'all. A whole year's salary. That's almost $12,000 to an evangelist. She brought that thing out and broke that thing open and didn't pour him some. She dumped it on him. And Jesus liked it. Mary plays an integral part in the whole story of the gospel. But here's what puzzled me, preacher. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Mary Magdalene was. I'm talking about at the most important places. At Calvary. At Golgotha. At the empty tomb, Mary, his mother, was there, often referred to as Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Salome. Those were Jesus' brothers. Also, Mary Magdalene was there. And Mary, the wife of Cleophas, was there, referred to sometimes as the other Mary, Mary of John, whose surname was Mark, his mama. They were there. But there, here's what I'll preach on. There's a missing Mary. Mary's missing. Mary's not there. You won't find her at Calvary. She's not there. She's not at Calvary. She's not at the tomb. You won't find her there. Mary's missing. Where is Mary? Why is Mary missing? And that's what I want to talk to you about very briefly. Let's look at this little topical thought. First of all, you're going to have to turn with me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 very quickly, and you'll find Mary. Why was Mary? By the way, this is not the first time Mary was missing. But Mary was missing. You'll find out why she was missing in Luke chapter number 10. Look at Luke chapter number 10. This is the first time that I can remember that Jesus shows up at the church in Bethany. Verse number 38 said, now it came to pass, as they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Mary was missing in the kitchen too. Hallelujah. I hope y'all are picking up what I'm putting down. Mary wasn't in the kitchen. And Martha was about to pull her hair out because every dish in the house was done, dirty. And they done started having church in the living room. And Martha interrupts Jesus and wants Mary to come help. Jesus said she chose that good part. You know why Mary was missing? Because of her good part. Martha put an emphasis on the work. But Mary put an emphasis on the Word. Hallelujah. You know what Martha did? Martha ignored him. Jesus was in her living room. And I don't know what he was preaching on, but Jesus was preaching on, it was important enough to hear. And Martha was in the kitchen. Listen, when Jesus is in the house, I don't care what life throws at you. I don't care what else is going on, honey. There is nothing more important than when Jesus is in the house and he's talking. And when Jesus is in the house and he's talking, you ought to come find your place. Honey, Jesus said Mary chose the good part. And the good part was not in the kitchen, but it was on the front pew and sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Martha put an emphasis on the work. Martha worshiped God with a dustpan in one hand and a vacuum cleaner in the other hand. And thank God for it. It's hard to have church without the Marthas. This place would be a wreck if we'd have some Marthas around here. I could tell when I roll up on a church that ain't got Marthas. Amen. Amen, y'all. But thank God for Martha. But she put an emphasis on the work. But Mary put an emphasis on the word. And that was the good part. You know why Mary was missing in the kitchen? Because she was more interested in the word than she was in the work. Hallelujah. And Jesus commended her in Luke chapter 10. Mary was missing because of her good part. Number two, look back in John chapter number 11. I love this passage. It's one of my favorite passages. John chapter number 11. I read you John 12, and I told you I preach on the perfect church out of John chapter number 12. And what I mean by that is everything that ought to happen at church is happening in John chapter 12. John 12, 1 through 9 is the perfect church. First of all, there's the attendance of the Savior. He's there. Help me somebody. It don't matter who ain't there, long as He is there. I can go to church without just about anybody. I've done it. Help me somebody. I can't go to church without Him. Jesus was there. That's the attendance of the Savior. And then the activity of the saints. There were only three church members, but they were all doing something. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. It don't matter how few we are. What matters is how active we are in the things of God. Martha was a worker. Mary was a worshiper. And Lazarus was a witness. And they were all three doing the best. Best you ever seen them do here in John 12. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And then, of course, there's the attack of Satan in John 12. And that's not something you want to see, but that's something you ought to have. If we're doing it right, Satan's going to try to stop us. Yeah. Help me somebody. Yeah. Hey, somebody once said that if you haven't run smack dab and headlong into the devil, that means you're going the same direction he is. But if you're going the direction Jesus is, you're doing something worthy, you're doing something for the Lord, don't be surprised if the devil don't throw a monkey wrench in there, try to tear everything up, and try to destroy everything. The attack of Satan here is a sign that it was a perfect church. You say the devil attacked us around here. Well, good. Huh? Every time the devil attacks, we want to wonder about what we did wrong. It ain't what you did wrong, it's what you did right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. The perfect church in John 12 was not so perfect in John 11. In fact, if you'll go back just one chapter in their life, you'll find out they were in a mess. Oh, buddy. Oh, the perfect church has got some problems. If you got people, you got problems. Can I get a witness in the house?
Yeah.
Amen. There was problems in the perfect church. Well, look at old Martha in John chapter 11. She was dealing with doubt. She didn't believe that Jesus was who He said He was. And Jesus had to come and counsel her and tell her, I am the resurrection and the life. Help me somebody. And then Mary was discouraged. She sat still in the house. She was missing in John 11. She was missing from the kitchen in Luke chapter 10. She was missing from the grave site in John chapter 11. Where was she at? Sat still in the house. And she was discouraged. And then old Lazarus, well, he's dead. Amen. That's a big problem to have too. Tell me somebody. Oh yeah, there's a mess. The perfect church in John 12 was in a mess in John 11. I want you to see this. Why was Mary missing? Why was she missing from Calvary? Why didn't she go? It was only a short walk from Bethany to Jerusalem. Was not that far. It was Bethany, the Bible says, is nigh unto Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus went several times from Jerusalem to Bethany. Why couldn't she go? She's missing from Calvary. She's missing from the tomb. Look at number 2 in John chapter 11. Look at verse number 32. John chapter 11 and verse number 32. The Bible said, I gotta show you what's happening. Martha got some help. Hallelujah. Martha got some help in verse 28 or verse 27. She made a public profession of faith in Christ and it helped her. It wasn't so much what he said that helped her as it was what she said that helped her. Amen. Amen. And then verse number 27, here's what, verse 28. She got her some help and then she went and found Mary. And by the way, that's how it's supposed to work. She went and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." She heard that and rose up quickly and came unto him. Mary sat still in the house. Mary sat still in the house because she didn't think Jesus loved her like she thought. Because they sent a letter and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. He didn't even show up. He stayed where he's at 2 days. Waited till Lazarus was dead 4 days before he showed up. Honey, God don't march to the beat of our drum. Help me somebody. It's not, we're not like, some of our prayer lives like shaking a magic eight ball. Amen. God is God. He'll do it how he wants to and when he wants to. But I want you to see this, verse number 32. When she was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Mary was weeping, buddy. She was washed. Her tears were splashing off of his feet. Her tears were splashing off of the feet of Jesus, and her hair was washing. Hallelujah. That wasn't the first time she ever washed his feet with her hair. And that won't be the last time in John 11 that she ever washed his feet with her hair. She's weeping. And she's asking him why he wasn't there, and she's weeping. But about that time, she looked around and she felt tears splashing off the back of her head, and she looked up into the face of Jesus. Look at John 11:35. Jesus wept. You know why Jesus wept? Jesus wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead, because he was fixing to get him up from the dead. Jesus wasn't weeping because of the unbelieving Jews. Jesus wasn't weeping because of sin, wasn't his plan. Jesus wasn't weeping. Help me somebody. He was weeping because Mary was weeping. When Mary weeps, Jesus weeps. That's what Jesus was doing in John 11:35. It was, you know what, why Mary was missing? Why she was missing? It's her great passion that kept her away. She put a premium on worship. Did you see this? When every time you see Mary of Bethany, she's at his feet. She's at his feet in Luke chapter 10. She's at his feet in John chapter number 11. She's at his feet in our text in John chapter 12. She is at, Martha spent a lot of time at his face. Mary spent a lot of time at his feet. Are you with me? She put a premium on the Word of God in Luke 10. But in John chapter 12, she put a premium on worship. She's at His feet and she's worshiping Him. Her great passion. Her good part. Well, she put an emphasis on the Word. Her great passion was that she put an emphasis on worship in here in John chapter 12. Let me give you this last one. Why was Mary missing? You got to see this. I want you to turn. Luke chapter 24. After it's all said and done. This answers the question. Why was Mary missing? She didn't go to Calvary. And it wasn't because she did not believe he would go there. She knew he would go there. She knew he would go to Calvary. Honey, anybody that sits at Jesus' feet and hears His Word is going to know things that other people don't know. In fact, John chapter 12 proves to us He said, she hath done this for my bearing. When Peter and James and John didn't understand that Jesus was going to Calvary, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to bury him, and that he was going to rise again. Honey, listen, Peter, James, and John didn't know, but Mary knew. Mary sat at his feet and listened to his word. And anybody that listens to his word is going to know things that others don't know. Why wasn't she at Calvary? All them other Marys was there. Why wasn't she at the tomb when they buried him? The mother Marys was there. Why was she missing on Easter Sunday morning when he rose from the dead? Just a brief walk from Bethany. I'm going to show you why. I hope you'll get this, and this is my last point. This is your last chance at a happy bubble. Amen. Look at verse number 50. Y'all know when Jesus rose from the dead, he spent some time with his disciples and he gave them final instructions. And then the Bible said on the Mount of Olives, a cloud received him out of their sight. Look at Luke 24 and verse number 50. We are specifically told where he was when he ascended. And he led them out as far as to what? Bethany. Hallelujah. He's about to leave out of here. He's about to go back to his Father and send the promise of the Holy Spirit. But oh, hallelujah, one last time before he leaves this world, he wants to stop at that little country church on the side of the road. You know why Mary wasn't at Calvary? It wasn't because she didn't believe to be crucified. She knew what they were going to do. She sat at his feet and heard his word. She knew he would be crucified. She also knew he wouldn't stay on the cross. I wish somebody would tell him that he ain't on that cross no more. Tell somebody. Yeah. He ain't on that cross no more. Yeah. That cross is just as empty as the tomb is. Amen. Thank God. Amen. She knew he would be crucified. She knew they would bury him. And she knew he would rise again. Why didn't she go? I'll tell you why she didn't go. She waited on him. She stayed right there in her place. She stayed right there in the church. Right there in the church of Bethany. And she knew why she wasn't going to go, because she was waiting on him to come to her. Thank God Jesus led his disciples out, who followed him everywhere he went. He led them out to Bethany. And that's where he ascended. Hallelujah. There, I see old Martha standing there on the front porch of the Bethany Baptist Church, looking down the road. They said, Mary, what are you waiting on? What are you looking for? She said, you'll just see here in a minute now. Hallelujah. After he was crucified, after they buried him, after he rose from the dead and spent some time showing himself alive by many infallible proofs, he came back down. Hallelujah. Came back to that little country church, standing there, and Jesus showed up because Mary was expecting him. Praise God. You know why Mary didn't go to Calvary? Because he was going to come to her. John, in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 50, he led them out as far as Bethany. She was missing because her good part. She put an emphasis on the word. She was missing because of a great passion. She put an emphasis on worship. She was missing because of her glorious place. She put an emphasis on waiting. Tell you something, what we're going to have to do right now is we're going to have to wait on God. I don't know what all is going to happen. I don't know how far into this thing God's going to allow us to go. But I got my suspicions, preacher, that by the time Jesus does rapture us out of here, we're going to be begging for it. We're going to be, help me somebody. We're not worried about him coming. That's why that didn't bless our hearts. We're more worried about our stimulus package coming. Amen. Amen. Or turkey season. Is it open yet? Turkey season opening up. Help me somebody. I'm convinced that the last days, and by the way, we're living in the last days, it's going to get so bad for folks like you and I, Bible believing Christians. It's going to get so bad we're going to be begging for him to come back. We're going to be, our number one prayer request is not going to be laparoscopic surgery and toothaches. Help me somebody. It's going to be, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus and get us out of here. We're going to have to wait on him. We'll have to wait on him. She stayed in the church. Thank God for that. They're trying to shut the church down.
Because religion does not pair with socialism. The government wants to be God when God is God. Amen. Her glorious place. She stayed right there. She stayed put right there in Bethany. She never left because she knew that one of these days Jesus was going to come to her. Hallelujah. Why was Mary missing? You know, there's a lot of people missing from church. I'd hate to miss. I'd hate to miss. We were talking about this. We were talking about this morning. Bible, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on this earth? I don't mean does it, will he find somebody that's saved? Faith that's on display, like in James chapter 1. Show me thy faith by thy works. Are you with me? That's not justifications by faith. That don't happen. That don't happen. Romans chapter 4 tells us plain. That don't happen. Nobody's justified by the works of the law. That's not justification. That's showing somebody else your faith by practicing your faith. And the only way I know, the best way I know to practice your faith is to go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Participate in church. Church is a big deal. I know it's falling on hard times, but it's a big deal. And expect it here in the next coming days to be even more attacked than it already is. Mary was missing from all those places because she stayed in the church. Amen. Thank God for that. Let's all stand. I'm done. Father, thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you didn't stay dead and you're not going to stay gone. Thank you for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us enough to not leave us. I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us, I pray. The storm clouds are rising. Lord Jesus, the black clouds are rolling on the horizon. The church has been on a 200-year pleasure cruise. We've never suffered anything. I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen us and help us. Lord Jesus, thank you for the faithfulness of Mary of Bethany. Help us, I pray, to follow that example. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, preacher.